So what does it mean to preach Christ? For the Sunday evenings this month, I want to do a short series on preaching Christ. And you might think, well, I'm not a preacher. That doesn't apply to me. Friends, everybody, one way or another, preaches Christ. Preach is to proclaim, to share the glad tidings, the good news. So I'm not talking about someone standing up on a platform preaching, but as we preach the good news to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers. And I want to do, this will be an introductory one, and then I want to do Paul's pattern of preaching, some instructions to young preachers, and some great text on preaching. So again, don't tune it out when I say preaching and preachers. This is us sharing the good news with everybody. When you think about the Bible, again, we all need to have some way of summarizing it when we share it with people. It's the salvation of man that comes through Christ to bring glory to God. Something like that to sum it up. What's the message of the Bible? The Old Testament, Christ is coming. The New Testament, Christ is here. He is resurrected, and he's coming back again. When we think about preaching Christ, it didn't just begin in the New Testament. When we look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.' And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days." So what was the purpose of the prophets in the Old Testament? Main thing was to tell them of the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. They were all looking forward to that. As we go through history in the Old Testament, we see the prophets speaking to the kings, trying to get the nation to turn back to God. But Moses is saying that God is going to raise up a prophet like me from among your brethren. Moses, the great lawgiver, Moses, the one that everybody looked to, God is going to raise up a prophet like me. And everybody is going to hear him. If they don't hear him, there are going to be consequences to that. Paul says of the law of Moses, "So that the law has become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So we see that even the law that Moses gave was in preparation of the coming of Christ. When we look at the Old Testament, we see Christ in the Old Testament. He was the Christ of promise, the Christ of prophecy. He was the Christ for whom the world was kept in waiting. He was waiting for God preparing the world. And then when the fullness of time came, Christ came. For thousands of years, every type, prophecy, and promise pointed toward the coming of Christ. Christ is the central figure of the Bible, of God's Word. These Old Testament prophecies said that Christ would come. When we go to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth.'" So when we think about preaching Christ, and he's prophesied back in the Old Testament, everything is pointing to him. One of the things we need to keep in mind too, and I'll try to bring that out in more of the other lessons, when we're talking with people, we've got to start off showing them when we're preaching to them, when we're proclaiming the good news, it's good news because of the condition that they were in. We've all sinned. We violated God's word. He's turned our face from us. We are without hope. We cannot save ourselves. And we've got to get people to realize the condition that that's in, that they are in. And I was talking with David at lunch today. You got to create in people's minds this conflict. Conflict. This is what God says. This is what I'm doing. And when they come to a realization, then there's a conflict. Am I going to change? Am I going to repent and do what God says? Or am I going to keep doing what I want to do? Christ is the answer to people's condition, to our sin problem, to things of this world. He is the greatest answer to everybody's needs. And all the prophets, and Isaiah is the prophet of the Messiah. And all of the prophets, you think about this, back to the one I read in Acts, all of the prophets were talking about Christ. And what does Christ mean? It means the anointed one. He was the Messiah. Jesus the Christ. Jesus means Savior. Christ, the anointed one. He was the one that they were looking for. All of the prophets prophesied about this coming Christ, the Messiah. Now, as we've been studying in the New Testament, were his apostles allowed to go around and preach Jesus is the Christ? Did they do that? And we've looked, as we've studied on Wednesday night, different places. The answer to that is no. They were not allowed to preach the Christ till after his resurrection. Matthew 16:20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. And in Luke 9:21, and he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. And it's interesting when we see that the apostles were with Jesus day in, day out for a period of 3 years, that Jesus told them, you don't tell anybody who I am yet. And again, there were different reasons for that. We've talked about the crowds that would come to Jesus would prevent him from doing some of the things he needed to do somewhere else. But we also see that they were not to proclaim Jesus as the Christ till after his resurrection, because they were to wait for something. They were to wait for the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And you think about this. They were eyewitnesses. They had firsthand experience seeing Jesus perform all of these miracles, seeing Jesus walk on the water, seeing him calm the storm, seeing him bring Lazarus forth from the grave. But he did not want them to go out and proclaim that he was the Christ until what? Until after the resurrection and after the Holy Spirit came. And the resurrection being that ultimate sign or proof that he was the Son of God. And what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? What role does the Holy Spirit play in the Godhead? He delivers the Word. The Word. Jesus did not want these men speaking on their own. Jesus wanted the Holy Spirit speaking through them to reveal, to proclaim the gospel, the good news, and then everything that we are to do. Well, why did they have to wait till after his resurrection, after his death and his resurrection? Well, like some of us, many of us, hopefully a lot of us, we have a will. And what is that will for? It's to stipulate what and how we want things done after our death. Now, while we are living, that will is of no effect. But once we die, that will goes into effect. So they were living under the old covenant, the old will. Jesus came to establish a new covenant. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said that this is my blood shed for the new covenant. And you think about that term covenant, that term will, those are legal terms. They're legal documents. It's law. This book is law. It's not a book of feelings. It's not a book of ideas. It's a book of law. Well, so Jesus, they knew that Jesus was the Christ. On several different occasions, he said, but don't tell anybody yet. You wait. I've got to go. And remember, they didn't understand when he said, I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And Peter was, oh, no, Lord, not you. You aren't going to do that. And Jesus, what did he tell him? Get behind me, Satan. They didn't understand, but he said, you aren't going to tell people till after I go through this. And then he further adds to that, you aren't going to tell them until the Holy Spirit comes. I don't want you speaking your words. I want them to be the words of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, we read, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also be the necessity, be the death of a testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So once Jesus died, everything that he taught goes into effect. Everything. Then when we understand preaching the good news, proclaiming the good news, sharing with everybody, what does that include? Well, a simple outline for that is in Acts 8:12. When Philip, when he went to the Samaritans, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So we see when we preach to people, when we share the good news with people, we need to talk about the kingdom. The kingdom is a major, major component of preaching Jesus. And what is the kingdom? It's the church. And you have so many people today, they have all of these wild ideas about the kingdom and Jesus coming back and setting up a physical kingdom. The kingdom is the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, what's that referring to? His authority. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We cannot act in any way in our worship, in the organization of the church, the work of the church. We cannot act in any way without the authority of Christ. And then we read both men and women were baptized. So the necessary conclusion, the inference, the unavoidable conclusion, the necessary inference, Philip was preaching baptism because men and women were baptized. And we also can draw that conclusion from the Ethiopian treasurer when they were riding in the chariot and he said, look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? So we need to be preaching baptism to people. We need to be showing them the importance of that. Not that it's just some ritual, but that's how we come in contact with the blood. That is how we receive the forgiveness of sins. That is how we are reconciled. We are estranged from our Heavenly Father. We want to be reconciled with Him. We want to be made whole with Him. It's all through baptism. So there are several things just to consider, a few this evening. Some passages about preaching Christ. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So what is Jesus telling us? That his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. And again, people are looking for Jesus to return to the earth to set up a physical kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. It's spiritual. Acts 11:15. "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning." This is Peter speaking in this passage. Peter is talking back to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell on them. The Holy Spirit came. They had the power. They were speaking to everyone, proclaiming the good news. And now, though, Peter's preaching to Cornelius, the Gentiles, and they see the Holy Spirit come on them, and the unavoidable conclusion is salvation isn't just for the Jews now, it's for the Gentiles. And when he says the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning, you go back to Acts chapter 2, and we see when the Holy Spirit came, it was something they could both see and hear. See and hear. You have people today say that they're filled with the Spirit, and you can't see it, you can't hear it. They just go, I know I have Him, I feel this way. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And notice the Holy Spirit comes with power. The Holy Spirit brings the Word. The Word is the sword of God. It's the all-powerful Word, but they are going to receive power, power to perform miracles when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Again, it's like concentric circles. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the earth. And we are part of those taking the gospel into all the earth, everyone that we come in contact with. Not just somebody standing up here preaching. All of us need to proclaim the gospel of Christ. We need to be familiar with it. We need to learn how to talk to people in terms that they can understand. And then we will start and see the kingdom be enlarged. Mark 9:1, "He said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present with power." Well, what does this tell us about the kingdom, about the church? It was going to come during that generation. "There are some of you standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." And again, this was written 2,000 years ago, and some people say the kingdom hasn't come yet. When we look at Acts 2, we see the kingdom came miraculously as prophesied. And you think about the birth of man, and how did the birth of man happen? It was miraculously. And you think about the birth of the church. And how did it begin? It began miraculously. And again, once both are established, man and woman and the church, God has these laws of procreation. You have a seed, you have a man, you have a field. The seed is sown with the man, that is the womb of the woman. That seed is going to bring forth like kind, a baby, another human life. You have the church. We have the seed, the word of God. We have the field. It's the hearts and minds of men and women. We take this seed and we plant it in the hearts and minds of men and women. And what's it going to produce? It's going to produce a Christian. A Christian. People don't understand this, and a lot of people don't even care. Why do I need to know this? Well, friends, where we spend eternity is why we need to know this. It's the most important information that we need to understand, and God has made it very simple to understand. Sometimes I've heard the reason people don't obey the gospel is because they don't hear the gospel preached. They hear everything else preached. How to manage your money, what's going on in politics, how to do this, how to do that. We need to preach, to cut people to their heart, to convict them of their sin. And I don't know how to get across to some people that we've got to keep trying. And then it's like when we think of ourselves, I know everybody here understands we are not worthy of what God is offering us. We are not worthy at all. And He has promised to give us everlasting life and an inheritance if we are faithful to Him. And sometimes we don't appreciate that till we get older and we know we have less time left to share the gospel. And it's just, I can't emphasize enough how we need to share it with everybody that we can. David was talking about somebody he was trying to get to come here, and I was telling him Carol was waiting to get the car worked on the other day and had a conversation with somebody, handed him one of her cards, and he said he would come. He didn't show up today. Hopefully he will, or he'll check out the information. God isn't going to judge us on how many people we save. God is going to judge us on how many people we share the gospel with. He has given us the most important message there is, the salvation of men's souls. He has entrusted it to us. We aren't worthy of that. He didn't give it to the angels to do that. He gave it to you and to me. And that means there is worth in us. And we need to not think that preaching is somebody else, it's everybody else's job about me. Well, what does it mean to preach Christ? John 3, beginning at verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, speaking to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Back again, just what I was talking about, illustrating God's law of procreation, and he was misunderstanding being born again, and you drop down to verse 7 in John chapter 3, and Jesus says, you must be born again. So, can you be in the kingdom without being born? No, Jesus said you must be born again. Can you be in the church without being born again? You can't be in the church. And the church is that saved body. Matthew 18:3 says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We have to be converted to be in the kingdom. If we aren't converted, we aren't in the kingdom. A lot of people, they want to get into the kingdom and not be converted. What's converted? It means to be changed. We can't keep living like we were in the world. We can't keep satisfying the lusts of the flesh. We have to repent of that. We have to turn we have to give our lives to Christ. What does it mean to preach Christ? Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You think about this. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament where blood was shed, because Christ said that that was what would atone for the sins, the shedding of blood. The life is in the blood. But we learned in Hebrews that that blood could never take away our sins. It was the blood of Christ. He himself, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is a picture of him personally cleansing our sins. And it wasn't an easy task because it cost him his life. And not only did he just save us from going to hell, but he made us kings and priests to his God and Father. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And again, as we've talked about before, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Those that get to heaven are going to be doing what they enjoy most, and that is worshiping and serving God. And if we don't worship and serve God here, what makes us think that we're going to get to heaven and want to do it for time without end? To him be all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, Colossians 1:13, what does it mean to preach Christ? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. So again, another contrast. He delivered us out of darkness. He delivered us into light. He delivered us out of darkness, the kingdom of the world, and he delivered us into the kingdom of his Son. Again, the church, it's established. We are in the kingdom now. What's it mean to preach Christ? Luke 22:29. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Where do we partake of the Lord's Supper? We partake of it in the kingdom, in the church. When the church was established, and we read about the early disciples coming together on the first day of the week, they assembled to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know, and I know people believe from A to Z on different things, but I wonder when people think that the kingdom is still out in the future, some of the premillennialists, I wonder if they take the Lord's Supper now when Jesus said that that was going to be in the kingdom. Are they going to wait till Christ comes back and set up an earthly kingdom? They're going to die before that happens. It just, when you read the Bible, it's so plain and simple, and like people have said, you have to have help to misunderstand what the Bible says. You just read the Bible and it can answer for itself. Well, what does it mean to preach Christ? When we look in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, we see that Peter preached facts about Christ. His life, his sacrificial death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension back into heaven. Then when these facts had been declared, what did Peter preach to them? He preached these facts about Christ. Then what did he preach? He preached commandments. Because of all of these facts, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. And then after he preached those commandments to them, what did he preach to them then? He preached to them promises. He preached the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we preach Christ to someone, we preach facts, we preach commandments, we preach promises. What does it mean to preach Christ? It means that Christ is now King in all fullness of His power. And friend, we shouldn't be shy or backward about saying this. He's King. He's King now. He has all power. There's salvation in no other name. There's no other authority by which we can be saved. We can't be saved by any man's name. Christ is the way. There's glory in no other name. And we are going to be judged by no other words than Christ's words. And again, you go back to thinking about when the disciples, they knew what to say about Jesus. They had been with Him day and night. They knew He was the Son of God. They saw His resurrected body. Thomas even put his finger in His hand. But Jesus did not want them preaching that He was the Christ till after His resurrection, after He ascended, and when the Holy Spirit had come. Did the Holy Spirit speak anything different than what Jesus spoke? No. Jesus spoke, and he told them in the Gospel of John that when He left, He was going to send the Comforter, and He was going to guide them into all truth, the rest of what they needed to know. So what Jesus said and what the Holy Spirit said, taught on something, was the same. We are going to be judged by no other words than Christ's words. And this shows just how important it is that what man says doesn't matter who the man is. You like him, you don't like him, if he's important or not. His word doesn't mean a thing. It's Christ's words that we are going to be judged by. And we need to change from thinking that preaching is somebody else's job. We understand I'm not talking about a woman standing up here and giving a lesson. I'm not talking about that. But you ladies, you're going to have the opportunity to reach so many people that us men are not going to have the opportunity to. Your children, your grandchildren, your other women friends, your neighbors. All of us need to be able to preach Christ, to confess Christ. And all of us, everybody's going to confess Christ. Our choices are we can confess Christ now while we have time and opportunity, and we make the confession when we are baptized, but we continue confessing Christ throughout our life. That's not just a one-time thing. We can't say, well, when I was baptized, I confessed Jesus and I don't have to say that anymore. We confess that in our life. And if we don't do that, when Christ returns, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and He has all power. We need to preach Christ. Some people will say, you're just too legalistic and too judgmental. Well, I say this is a law book, and we judge, we make judgments every day. I go to the grocery store and I buy fruit. I pick it up, I'm going to turn it upside down. I don't want something that's rotten. We make judgments. I make a judgment about the grapes that I buy because I care about what I'm buying. And grapes are nothing. Grapes are nothing. We preach Christ to warn someone of eternal consequences. It's not judging them, it's loving them. How can we say we love somebody and then not point out and show them what God's word is? Again, we should present it in a humble way. We are the messengers, but God has given that task, that privilege to us. So preaching Christ, it's something that all of us need to be comfortable with, and we can't do too much of it. And again, when we think about that, God has promised so much to us that we don't deserve when we obey His word. Friend, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.